Are you at a disadvantage if you're from an ethnic minority? That's my question this morning. 0161 228 2255. 81333. Start your text with the word Manc. And I'm not alone in asking this question. Indeed, it's been asked many, many times before. It's now been asked formally and academically by the University of Manchester. They held an event looking at what it means to be a member of an ethnic minority. Sam Clack has a breakdown of the makeup of Greater Manchester according to the most recent census.
Research from Manchester University has analysed the data from the 2011 census to create one of the most complete insights into life for people from black and ethnic minority communities. It shows that across Manchester, white, Caribbean, African, Indian, Pakistani and Bangladeshi groups are now more spread out where they're traditionally stuck together. The population in Greater Manchester is also becoming more mixed within households, with 25% including people from more than one ethnic group. That's more than double the national average. The largest ethnic minority group in Manchester is Pakistani, accounting for 9% of the population, and with most living in Longsight and Cheetham. African is the second largest ethnic group in the city, growing fourfold and faster than any other group since 1991. African people live right across the city, with the largest cluster in the Moss Side area. New measures in the 2011 census show that Manchester's not becoming less British despite its increased ethnic diversity. More people report a British or English national identity in Manchester than say they're white British.
26 minutes past seven on BBC Radio Manchester. Ludi Simpson is Professor of Population Studies at the University of Manchester. Good morning to you. Has the makeup, if you like, the collective makeup of the population of Greater Manchester, has it changed?
Good morning, Alan. Yep, it has certainly changed. It's larger, the number of people with different ethnicities, as they've answered within the census. It's more mixed than it was 10 years ago and still more mixed than 20 years ago. And the inequalities, however, social inequalities, persist in rather in different ways, but many ways. And so all those things are being addressed today at the conference at the university.
You say that dare I call it prejudice, but the different benefits or otherwise, the way that people are able to take part and benefit from our society is different. Is that related to language skills, or is it simply related to just the simple ethnicity? Because we're all from somewhere.
Indeed. I mean, it will be related to a whole variety of things, and it will start in school and continue in different ways, and it doesn't affect every group, so it's not simply a matter of the colour of one's skin. But attitudes do die hard, and we do see, for example, that Pakistani and Bangladeshi women particularly have poorer health, and Caribbean and Pakistani populations within Manchester as well as nationally have considerably higher unemployment, and that's not just men but women too.
Well, all right, unemployment we can look at and say that's about people's ability to get into work and all the rest of it, and it may come from education. Health is rather different, isn't it? Because there are some health conditions that are more predominant in different racial groups.
Absolutely, and I mean, that's why people study this very carefully, not to try and make statements that aren't backed up by some careful evidence. And there are, you're right, reasons to do with lifestyle, but there are also many social reasons, and those social reasons tend to be found consistently to be the more important issues. And they're also the issues that they're important for government and local authorities because of the things that can be done about.
Human beings are insular, they are tribal, we are familial. Is not this difference in the way we accommodate those who are not of our tribe, of our family, isn't it not inevitable in humanity?
Well, What are you suggesting is inevitable? That there are differences between people? Certainly there are.
The way we treat people will be different. I treat my family different to the way I treat my friends, who I treat differently to the way I treat strangers. We are. The human being is a familial creature. We look after our family first.
Absolutely. I think in the public sphere, then when one's treating people who one doesn't know, then you expect to be treated fairly. So that's the concern.
And how does your research identify the failings? What does it say the failings are?
Well, the beautiful thing about the census is that it's available to everybody. It's one of the most democratic surveys, right, that we have. And so it allows us to describe the differences, the changes over time, compare one area with another. It doesn't tell us exactly why people are behaving or end up differently, and those are the things to discuss in policy forums, and that'll be discussed today too. So I'm not going to pretend that the census gives the answers, but it helps us understand what's going on, what's changed.
Like many of these things, it doesn't give the answers, but by God, it makes the questions interesting. Should be a good conference. Good to talk to you, Ludy Simpson. Thank you very much indeed. Professor of Population Studies at the University of Manchester. The census tells us who's here. What it doesn't tell us is how they are treated and how society deals with different people in different ways. I want to know, are you at a disadvantage if you're part of an ethnic minority? 0161 228 2255 81333.